Hello, welcome to From Our Own Correspondent. I'm Pascal Harter. Today, where drug smuggling gets the death penalty, but child abuse gets 15 years. Indonesia grapples with how to protect its youngest and most vulnerable. First, though, a story about a man working so hard to protect children that he can't help but let the work get to him sometimes. Rani Singh meets a doctor in the Bangladeshi capital who nonetheless won't stop doing what he does.
The tiny baby was so starved of nutrition it was just a piece of meat, says the doctor. He's describing an infant weighing hardly a kilo. He brought it back to health at this premature baby unit in downtown Dhaka. I'm wearing a face mask and slippers to stop infection. The babies, some no bigger than my hand, lie motionless on their backs in see-through plastic cots, their heads engulfed by tubes and big, dark ventilating machines. Serious-looking nurses in blue overalls and caps monitor each one. They whisper and check blue clipboards attached to the incubators. The mother of that tiny baby thought she was expecting triplets when she arrived at the Adin hospital, but they found a fourth baby inside her. Many Bangladeshi families are too poor to feed four children. So lots of babies, born a couple of months early like this one, don't survive. But this quadruplet, like his sister and two brothers, is now a healthy primary school toddler. Most babies in this country are born at home without healthcare support. So many expectant mothers only come to this hospital if they've got problems. The first time they meet a doctor is when they're in labour here. So doctor doesn't know about mum, explains Dr. Zabrul Haq, director of neonatal intensive care at this hospital. Every day we face new patients, new problems, he says. There's not enough time to plan ahead to avoid complications. With premature babies, he tells me, the brains, ears and tummies are all at risk. They also have soft bones, their swallowing mechanism isn't fully formed, and their tiny blood vessels are not strong enough to carry the blood pumped by the heart. You can tell from Dr. Huck's accent that he spent time in the United States. He's got a degree from New York's Lincoln Hospital and is respected as the country's only American-certified consultant in his field. His wards have state-of-the-art equipment, he tells me, but not enough beds. We have to take a good long look at the patients, he says, and we can only admit the most critical cases. But most of his tiny charges do survive, and this intensive care unit is expanding. Bangladesh has reduced its maternal and child mortality rate, but there's a long way to go. Well-staffed premature baby units like this one are so rare, Dr. Huck says, that its highly trained nurses are regularly stolen by other hospitals. The Adin, which is funded by charity, sets a nominal charge for its care, but the fee's often waived. Dr. Huck doesn't want that too widely known, though. If the free treatment were publicised, he fears, hopeful new patients would overrun the place. We tell the patients what we charge, he says, and then see how much they can bear. Sometimes we don't worry about the fee. In fact, he tells me, sometimes doctors and nurses actually give money to needy patients. Dr. Huck feels he's more use in Bangladesh than in America, where there are many baby doctors. And he admits he spends so much time with his tiny charges that his own children hardly see him. Emotionally, he tells me, we always get involved. While losing a baby is so sad, seeing a baby discharged and going home is such a joy, with the faces of parents smiling at us. We see smiley faces more than sad ones. That's why we're still in this work.
A compelling reason to keep going, as told to Rani Singh in Dhaka, Bangladesh.